All right, welcome back to Beat the Spread, another episode. I'm your host, Bills, Rob Williamson, and the horse is on as usual. And we're going to get into the MLB playoffs. I'm pretty fired up for it, especially because the Mets are in it, but also just, it's been too long since we've had playoff sports, you know?
It's been a long time, and the Mets being in there since the first time since 06, it's great, great year.
Yep. All right. So we're going to touch on a few things, and then we're going to make some predictions. We're going to hit the wild card games, and we're going to hit our predictions for the series. But before that, we're going to get into the circus act right now that is Matt Harvey and the New York Mets. I thought we were past it, if I'm being honest. I really hoped we were past it. I was ready to kill Harvey when all that stuff was going down, and then I was on his side once he said he was all geared up and ready to go. And it was made clear that he was going to pitch a full playoff game in game three, and then he skips practice. So I don't love it, but I think hopefully – he said he was in traffic. Sounds like a kind of a dog ate my homework excuse. I mean, we're both from New York, so we know traffic can be bad, but it's like he's never – like everyone else got there. It seems a little suspect to me. I'm thinking that by the time he actually pitches, which will be Monday, I believe, hopefully this is all – gone. I think it will be, and he can hopefully silence everyone with a gem in game three, but we'll see. What's your take on it?
I mean, I think it's just terrible timing by Harvey to do this. I mean, if there's a practice that you shouldn't miss, it's one of the ones right before the playoffs, after you've gone under all this scrutiny. I just mean, you can't blame it on traffic. I mean, you lived in New York for how long? Like, you got to know these things. And if everyone else made it, it's like how bad could traffic actually have been? It's kind of a joke, but hopefully it blows over and he is out with a vengeance in game three.
Yeah, it seems like a fraud excuse to me. I just don't really buy it. But the other thing is this: everyone likes to say this stuff about his agent. I don't understand how this move could be considered a smart move. Like, that's like why I almost am inclined to believe it. It's like, how would this ever be a good decision? Like, the innings pitch thing, it pissed people off, but it had good intentions, or his agent had good intentions for his client. This just wouldn't make any sense.
I think he actually did, like probably woke up a little late or something like that, got in his car, started a little late, and then just hit traffic. And you know what? Like, can't do that. The pros. And we're going to the playoffs the first time since 06. Get your shit together.
No, I'm with you. And apparently he called Terry Collins and was like, I'm going to be late. Collins just told him to turn around, basically. So I don't know. Maybe he could have gotten there like late, and Collins didn't want it to be a distraction at practice for the guys who were there. So maybe he was just running a little bit late. And I know Collins told him to turn around because Matt called Terry Collins and said, I'm stuck in traffic. And Terry Collins said, just turn around. I don't know if that was like Collins being pissed off and being like, I don't even want you to show up, or maybe he had intentions of not distracting the guys who had already showed up and were ready to work.
Yeah. I think Terry is probably just a little ticked off about it. You know, he's an old school guy, and all this stuff about innings pitched and all this bullshit, he just finds it kind of annoying, I bet.
I'm sure it is. I mean, this is the last thing we need with, because of Matt's back. I mean, I'm hoping he'll be fine, but it's looking like, I mean, the Mets need to get real, and Harvey needs to bear down. You're facing Kershaw and Greinke on the road in games one and two. Harvey's pitching game three. I think the Mets are hoping to be tied 1-1 going into that game three, with Harvey having a chance to give us a big edge in the division. So he needs to cut this shit out and get ready to play playoff baseball.
I mean, it's a tough matchup for the Mets also. I mean, you're getting lined up against Greinke and fucking Kershaw. And you know what? Like, they're probably going to pitch. If it goes to five, they'll probably each pitch two games. It's like, you got to try and steal one in L.A., but it's going to be really tough.
And this is the Mets fan in us coming out wanting to talk Mets. We're going to get into that series later, but next thing we're going to talk about, C.C. Sabathia going to rehab. I mean, for me, like, I think something had to have happened, you know? Like, they wouldn't just send him to rehab now if he was drinking. I've been told he might not have even started a playoff game if they win tonight. But I think this reeks of a situation where, like, he did something and they were like, all right, you're going to rehab. I don't know if it was like a DUI or something, but I think later on we might find out that there was more to this story than just CeCe deciding arbitrarily, like, 2 days before the wild card game that he needed to go to rehab, because that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I think CC probably got in some kind of action, either like drinking maybe in the clubhouse or something like that, maybe. I would be possible. But, I mean, it just doesn't really make sense time-wise to put him on the DL. I mean, if he had, like, an alcohol problem, you could kind of – I mean, it's a huge deal. But
They lost five of their last six games, with the only win being the game Sabathia started when he pitched a gym.
And he's the only one on that Yankees pitching staff that really has any playoff experience. I mean,
yeah,
there was a stat where he has 120 innings playoffs, and like the rest of the Yankees combined have like 60.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Tanaka hasn't pitched on a playoff game.
Yeah. And then they have Severino, who hasn't pitched in a playoff game. And now he's going to be bumped up to a starter.
Yeah. And I mean, even if Sabathia wasn't necessarily going to start a game, just having a guy like that that you can put in if a guy gets knocked around, maybe a young guy that you don't have a lot of faith in gives up like three or four runs in the first inning, first two innings, you can put in Sabathia and he can get you to your bullpen. It's just, it seems like there has to be more going on than he just decided randomly that now is the time he needs to go to rehab, when there's a 50-50 shot that they don't advance past the Astros tonight. So it's like, there's a 50-50 shot. You could have waited a week and gone to rehab and not made this whole hoopla about it. So I think there's got to be something more going on.
Yeah, there must have been some kind of scene that happened. But I mean, Sabathia has been struggling recently. I mean, he had a terrible year this year. That might have something to do with it. But hopefully he gets his shit together.
This is actually a good segue into the gambling portion, where we're gonna talk about who we like in the wild card games. That one's first. Let's start with the only thing with Sabathia is, if you look at his splits, April he had a 5.96, May he had a 5.45, June he had a 5.45, July 5.32, August 3.8. September 225, October in his one start 1.8.
So yeah, he was starting to turn it around, which is unfortunate.
He was turning it around in a big way, and they're gonna get the potentially, I guess, who are they gonna end up playing if they won?
Would that be Texas? No.
It'd be the Royals.
Yeah. That's
And
usually
against the
Cueto's pitching second now. He's going to pitch game two, and they're giving it to somebody else for first game.
Well, here's the thing, too. Sabathia's only start against the Royals this year. He went seven innings, one earned. So there has to be more going on.
Yeah.
All right. But who are you laying your hard-earned American dollars on tonight in the Astros-Yanks game?
I mean, it's a huge game tonight. I mean, a lot of people are going to be watching this game. I think there are going to be a lot of bets both ways. The line is about even for me. I mean, right now I can get it.
It's like Yankees, it's a little more juice on the Yanks, right?
Yeah, Houston's a little bit of the underdog, just straight up. I'm going to be betting on Houston in this game. I think Dallas Keuchel is a great pitcher. I mean, he's going to win the Cy Young in the AL. And he induces a lot of ground balls, which I think plays to the advantage of Yankee Stadium being a very home run friendly park. And Tanaka gives up a lot of homers. And I think that actually being played in Yankee Stadium is an advantage to Houston, not the Yankees. Keuchel's more of a ground ball inducing pitcher, and Tanaka gives up some home runs. And I actually like Houston's squad. Carlos Correa is a great young talent. Carlos Gomez has been struggling, but I really like Houston in this one. I'm going to be laying some dollars down. What do you think, Williamson?
I got an interesting stat on this one, actually, with Tanaka. This is very weird, I'd say, especially from what we've seen out of the Mets. Tanaka has a better ERA on the road than he does at home. He's got a 3.71 at home. Now, the thing about Keuchel that we all know is He is 15-0 at home. And on the road, he's 5-8 with a 3.77. That's pretty, I mean, he's obviously a phenomenal pitcher, but 5-8 with a 3.77, that's not amazing. But here's what's big for me. Keuchel's played the Yankees twice this year, hasn't given up a run. Tanaka pitched once against the Astros, went 5 innings, 6 earned. So, I mean, from those numbers alone, I think that I like the Astros too. I think they can get to Tanaka. I wanted to like the Yankees because I had heard, you know, I knew, and they love saying Keuchel's not that good on the road. But you know what? At the end of the day, these playoff games are kind of a different animal. And I just think Keuchel's a better pitcher than Tanaka, and he's dominated the Yankees in his two starts.
Another thing is that a lot of the Yankees, good hitters, like you got Gregorius, you got Greg Bird, you got Jacoby. There are a lot of lefties on this Yankee squad, and going up against Keuchel is going to force, I think, the Yankees to switch a few players and bring in some righties, which the short right porch in Yankee Stadium is a big factor for lefties.
Yeah. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves and say that Didi Gregorius is a great hitter.
He's not, but in Yankee Stadium, he can hit some homers and bat for decent average.
All right. Well, either way, it sounds like we're both on the Astros. And to be honest, before I started doing my research and analysis on this one, I was going to take the Yankees. Like a blind pick, I was going to take the Yankees, and I looked at these numbers. In the playoffs, it's all about starting pitching for me. And in a one-game playoff, it's obviously the only two guys that go. And the numbers, I just love what Keuchel's done against the Yankees. They clearly haven't figured him out. And Tanaka got touched up by the Astros. So that's a huge confidence thing. It's like it's tough to stand in there and do well in a high-pressure situation when you've been blanketed by a guy twice. And likewise with the Astros, if you've tagged him, the last time he started, you're not scared of that guy. So I'm on the Astros.
Yeah, I was actually the same way. I was going with the Yankees on a blind pick before I did some research, but I really believe that the Astros are going to win this one tonight.
Yeah, I do too. So with that being said, let's move on to the other wild card game, which is the Cubs and Pirates. I'll go first. This is an interesting game because I love the Pirates, but there's just no way I can go against Arrieta. I'm taking the Cubs, and I think it's going to be close because they have home field. I don't think you're going to get hammered on the juice by taking the Cubs, even though it is Arrieta who in his this season, his ERA is a 0.75 against the Pirates, and that's a team in the division. So he's faced them. And, I mean, you look at his ERA in August, it was a 0.43, September, 0.45, October, nothing, unhittable. And this guy, I've been reading his Twitter, he is not scared of this situation at all. He's calling guys out, he's ready to go. And he's going to win this, he's my NL Cy Young over Kershaw and Greinke with what he's done recently and the no-hitter. Just all around. And Gerrit Cole's good, he's got a 2-1-3 against the Cubs. And he's very good. He throws gas. He's the only guy that throws as hard as the Mets guys. If you look at the like per average pitch, it's him and Syndergaard are the two hardest throwers in the league. So he's great. Gerrit Cole's great. He looked like he had a chance at the Cy Young pretty, you know, for a while. But at the end of the day, I'm going to take Arrieta. I don't see any way that the Pirates can touch him.
I'm leaning the same way, Bills. I think Arrieta is just too good. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. His no-hitter that he threw in L.A. against the Dodgers was phenomenal. I think he also should win the Cy Young Award. And I think that the Cubs are going to handle Pittsburgh pretty easily. I think they're going to actually win by two runs. I'm not going to take the spread on it. I just don't think it's enough of a difference to warrant it. I definitely am picking the Cubs, though. I might throw a little cash down on the 1.5, but I'm going to put majority on just the Cubs to win.
The thing for me with this game is if the Pirates want to win, what they'll need to do is they can't expect to necessarily hit Arrieta. What they need to do is extend at bats, because the Cubs bullpen has been vulnerable while the Pirates has been shut down. So
yeah,
they guys need to get up there sometimes and not necessarily have the intention of going deep or, you know, hitting it in the gap, but waiting, being patient, getting his pitch count up so that he can't go into the eighth inning. You know, that's the only, for me, that's the best shot the Pirates have. I mean, obviously we've seen it with Kershaw where these amazing pitchers of the other season falter and get touched up a little bit. I don't think it's going to happen with Arrieta, but so I'm not worried about that. The Pirates are going to win this game. They need to get him out at least in the seventh. They need to have some at bats against the Cubs bullpen.
Yeah, I'm still on the Cubs, but in order for the Pirates to make this a close game or win this game, they're going to have to use their speed. They got some great players, outfielders especially. I mean, you got McCutcheon. You got a couple other guys that are just quick on the base pass. So I think that they're going to try.
Marte.
Yeah, Marte. I think that they're going to have to play a little small ball almost, like try and extend the pitch counts, maybe lay down a few bunts, advance the runner, steal bases. And just do anything to get Arrieta out of there as soon as possible.
This is the game where the value of a run is huge.
Yeah.
Even just one run.
And all of these games, especially these two wild card games, it's literally do or die. So each run is enormous for each team.
Yeah. But I'd say even more so with this one than the other one, because it's Arrieta and Cole. I think if a guy hits a leadoff double, and you can bunt him over and sack fly, that's huge.
Yeah.
All right, so another game or series where each run's going to be very important is the Mets-Dodgers series. Obviously, some amazing pitching will be going down in that series. Probably, I don't want to say the two best staffs. The Mets have been one of the best staffs, and the Dodgers have two of the three best starting pitchers in the MLB this season, I'd say. I'd say Arrieta, Kershaw, and Greinke have been the three best pitchers in the majors. Dodgers have two of them. It looks like if this thing goes the distance, they're both going to pitch twice. It's tough for us because we're Mets fans, so obviously we're not going to bet on the Dodgers. But my take on it is I'm a lot more nervous now than I was 2 weeks ago.
I'm hoping that affects the odds a little bit, actually. The Mets have been on a real cold streak. I mean, they got no hit. Scherzer the game before. And they only got one run to beat them in the final game to get to 90 wins with Granderson's solo shot in the eighth. So, I mean, a couple weeks ago, the offense was lights out, on fire. And now the Mets seem to have lost it a little bit. We're hoping that they come back. You're still going with the Mets here, right? I know I am.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, it's the kind of thing, though, where it is, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because, I don't know. I mean, it's just tough for me because I feel like Kershaw is bound to break out of this slump, you know, these slumps he's been having in the playoffs. He's bound to break out of it at some point. That being said, well, he's pitched great against the Mets this year. But that was only one game. DeGrom also pitched phenomenally against the Dodgers. I mean, obviously I have to take the Mets. I'm not going to be knocking beer bottles over the listeners' heads to do it, because I think this is going to be – I think it's going to be a really, really tough series for us. And I think it's going to be a tough series for them. I'm not saying it's a one-sided thing and that they're a lot better than us. I mean, don't forget that DeGrom's one start against the Dodgers. He went 7 2/3, two hits, no runs, eight strikeouts. You know, so he – and he's looked every bit as good as he's has all year in his last couple starts. So I'm not – I know it's coming off sounding like I'm not super confident with the Mets, and that's probably because I'm not guaranteeing anything. I'm still on the Mets, because I just think when you have to face potentially Kershaw twice and Greinke twice, and you start off with all these young pitchers having to pitch on the road, I think it's going to be a challenge. I would take the Mets, and you might be able to get some value in it because I think we're underdogs. I think it's going to be a good series, and that first game is going to be huge. If DeGrom can pitch a gem and we can get the best of Kershaw and take a 1-0 lead, that would be huge.
I mean, going back to Citi Field 1-1 would be almost ideal for us. I mean, obviously 2-0, but you're probably just looking to steal one from one of these two guys, and then in game three with Harvey, just take that one, take the 2-1 lead, and then just try and finish it out at Citi Field, hopefully. But I think that the Mets are a good team. They have some good pitchers, but they are young. I definitely think that this is more of a value pick than a straight up guarantee that the Mets are going to win. I think it's going to be a good series, though. I think it's going to go four or five games. And honestly, if it goes five games and you're taking the Mets in all those, you're probably coming out on top, actually.
Yeah. And here's this narrative of Syndergaard can't pitch on the road. I think he's kind of gotten over that recently. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he had that. Who did they play where he had like a one-run outing through eight innings and then gave up a late homer. But that was his best start in a while.
Yeah. Well, also, when he went to Dodger Stadium, he went six innings, one earned.
Yeah.
And it was on a homer. So, you know, and also it's an experience thing for him. You know, it wasn't just it was when he was getting touched up a little bit in August. He happened to have a couple road starts. I think he's really settled down. His last start was really, really good. Seven innings, two hits, one earned run. It was just the homer. He has given up 19 homers this year, which has been his kryptonite. But
if you make some good contact on it, it's gonna be
exactly.
Flying pretty far.
Are you worried about the Mets' bats down the stretch kind of faltering?
I think, you know what, after they locked up the division, they kind of had a little letdown. But you know what, I think that they were enjoying taking the division for the first time in a long time. And I think that they'll turn it back around. Thank God that Yoenis Cespedes' hand seems to be all right. We'll see in game one if he's swinging the bat confidently. I mean, I know hand in baseball is actually a huge factor when batting because when you hit that ball, if you're not hitting it perfectly, it's going to ring and it's going to hurt your hand. So if you have anything wrong with that hand, it could be dangerous for him. But I think he'll battle through it, and I think he's going to have a great series. And I think D. Wright is just so clutch. I think he's going to really turn it around and have a great on base this postseason.
Yeah. No, I'm completely with you. I'm not – everyone seems to be panicking about the bats. This all happened when we didn't need the bats to be alive. All the big games we played, mostly against the Nationals because the division was really a two-horse race there for a while. Every time we had a big game, we scored and won. We saw it – we came back from down 6-1 against the Nats. You can't – like, that's hitting, and hitting's important. But I understand what you're saying about the bat ring, especially in October in New York City. It can be cold on some of those nights. So that's something to look into. But I think this team just has too many good hitters. That team that was struggling with the bats in the middle of the season, right before the All-Star break, around the All-Star break, was not the same team we have right now. I mean, Granderson was there, but Wright wasn't. Murphy wasn't there the whole time. Duda wasn't there the whole time. Cespedes we acquired late. Darnold missed a lot of time. Conforto was acquired late. So you think about it, and like that team, those teams that were really struggling was not the team that anybody's going to be facing in the playoffs. It's a totally different animal.
I mean, it's John Mayberry Jr. versus Cespedes, basically. They were both batting in like similar areas of the lineup. It's like you got Eric Campbell batting third at one point for the Mets. Now you have Conforto batting seven or eight.
Exactly. So it sounds like we're on the same page. For me, it's definitely not my best play because those pitchers are really good. But I do still like the Mets. I have all the confidence in the world that we can beat any team in baseball when we're on. I'm not worried about the Harvey distraction. I think when it's all said and done with that, He'll pitch a great game in game three. I just hope we can steal one in LA. And I think it'll be the, I think DeGrom's going to pitch a gem on Friday night.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
I hope that he gets some strikeouts too. Cause there's definitely going to be some strikeout battles, two power pitchers, whoever ends up pitching, Greinke or Kershaw.
Right. Okay. So now let's go on to the Rangers. Rangers, Blue Jays. Who do you like?
I like the Blue Jays in four here. I think that honestly, the Blue Jays are the best or second best team in baseball. They're getting back Troy Tulowitzki. He wasn't that stellar, but I mean, they were just unstoppable with him. He's a great defensive talent. And honestly, the Blue Jays, they put up runs and they have great pitching. Their four starters for the playoffs all have 2 point something ERAs, which is amazing, especially with the amount of runs they put up. I think Texas will be able to maybe squeak one out against them. They got some good bats in that lineup, but I think the Blue Jays are going to take this in four.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I think Blue Jays cruise. The Blue Jays are the favorite to win the World Series in Vegas right now at only 2-1. I think they cruise. I don't think Texas is that good. I mean, they're solid, but for me, to be honest, I think the best teams in baseball, and it's not really debatable because the records show it, but I think the Blue Jays are one of them. But outside of that, I think it's really the Cardinals, the Pirates, and Cubs had the three best records in baseball. I think there are three. You could argue they're the three best teams in baseball, other than the Blue Jays right now. The Dodgers are all really good, so I think the Blue Jays. You know, obviously we haven't seen them as much being in the NL, but I know they are really good. Obviously, they're the favorite in Vegas. I think they cruise against the Rangers, but they were in a division that wasn't great all year. They were playing the Rays, the Red Sox, who turned it around late, but for the most of the season weren't very good. The Orioles, they took advantage of the Yankees, who I don't think are a good team. They're stumbling into the playoffs. So I don't think the Blue Jays are a great value at 2-1 to win the series, but I do think they'll cruise past the Rangers.
Yeah, Texas, I mean, they squeaked out winning the division over the Astros. They're not that good of a team, but the Blue Jays are just stellar. I think that the AL is a lot weaker than the NL this year. The NL, you got the Mets, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, and then you're playing the wild card game is the Cubs versus the Pirates, which are two phenomenal teams.
They're the second and third best record in baseball, and they're in a wild card game.
Yeah, they're both. What's crazy is they're all coming out of the same division too. I mean, they
yeah,
just got really
they killed everyone else that they played outside the division. The Mets did not win a game this year against the Pirates or Cubs.
Yeah, the Mets. Yeah, the Mets wouldn't have even made the wild card if we hadn't won the division. So, I mean,
the Pirates and Cubs had the second and third best record in Major League Baseball. And 5 years ago, the Cubs wouldn't have made the playoffs. So 5 years ago, the Cubs would have had the third best record in baseball. And there would have been eight teams in. They had the third best record and they wouldn't have been in the postseason.
Yeah, that's
so that's, you know. But it's good for the sport that we have the one game playoff. I wouldn't mind it being, I wouldn't mind them stretching it out and doing it like the NFL where it's two teams get byes and then there's two wild cards and just do the wild card games as a three game series.
Yeah. The one game wild card, that's new, right? I think
they used to not have that game.
Yeah. But
it it used to be there's one wild card and they play the best division or the best record and then the other two divisions play each other.
Yeah, I actually kind of like it. I think that they did it, MLB did it to kind of revitalize the sport a little bit. Because it's, I mean, a one game playoff is serious. I mean, that's
a lot of excitement.
The NFL is so. NFL playoffs are so huge. It's just one game. Just that's it.
Yep, it is huge, and it's I completely agree with you that I think people can lose interest if it drags on too long because the sport is slow to begin with. And I agree, one game playoff, it's like you have to tune in. But at the same time, the reason it is that way is because baseball is a sport where on any given day, the worst team in the bigs can beat the best. So it's like if you play a football game between the Jaguars and the Patriots are going to win that game every single time. Baseball's not really the same, which makes it a little tougher on these teams to have to do a one-game playoff.
Yeah.
That being said, so that's
on MLB.com, there's a little bracket challenge. And if you hit it, it's worth $5,000. Might as well. I mean, there's not that many series, so I'm gonna throw one in there.
Yeah, definitely throw one in there. So those are our picks. It sounds like we're on the same page on everything. We like the Astros tonight. We like the Cubs tomorrow. We like the Mets with some bias in there, but and then we like the Blue Jays. And those are the more or less traditional picks. So we're not really going out on many limbs. But you can get the Astros as a slight underdog tonight, and you'll be able to get the Mets as an underdog against the Dodgers. So those are the picks. Thanks for listening to Beat the Spread. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to be doing our NFL picks of the week for this coming Sunday.
Horse!